is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. 4 aircraft and about 100 troops have been sent by the U.S. military to Senegal and Sierra Leone to support the quick exit of a team assessing possible military involvement in Liberia. 3 PAVE Hawk helicopters and a combat shadow airplane are now nearby just in case the humanitarian assistance survey team in Liberia needs to be evacuated in an emergency. The Bush administration is under increasing pressure to intervene in Liberia and end nearly 14 years of violence in the African nation, which was founded by freed American slaves in the 1800s. Defense officials are said to be considering a plan that would deploy as many as 2,000 U.S. troops to act as peacekeepers. Afghanistan's foreign minister says the credibility of the United States is on the line if it doesn't do more to help that country rebuild and strengthen its central government. Speaking in Washington, Abdullah Abdullah proposed another donors conference to help raise up to $20 billion over the next 5 years. Abdullah also suggested that next year's elections could be postponed if the basic services like water and electricity are not established for the Afghan people. He said while he understands that the U.S. is committed to other places around the world, the situation in Afghanistan would affect the credibility of the U.S. in relations with every other country.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of 3 herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Washington, D.C. area mail sorting facilities near Dulles Airport and in Capitol Heights have a new anthrax test. Deborah Yakeley, a spokesperson for the USPS, explains how the test works.
As the letters go through the equipment, there are pinch points in the machine, and that forces air or whatever's inside the envelope out. And at those points, the machinery, the equipment, the system that we have, tests the air over those points.
If anthrax is found in the air, Yakeley says strict emergency procedures will be followed. She says the facility will be evacuated and emergency personnel will be called in immediately. The new equipment will be tested at the two facilities for 30 days. If the system works, more anthrax testing machines will be installed across the country next year. Prosecutors in the case of teen D.C. area sniper suspect Lee Boyd Malvo say they're not aware of any witnesses who would back up defense claims that Malvo was under the spell of alleged accomplice John Allen Muhammad. Last month, Malvo's attorneys filed a motion demanding over 20 pages of police interviews with alleged witnesses who reported seeing Malvo under the spell of Muhammad before or during the sniper attacks. A Fairfax County, Virginia judge is weighing the defense motion.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Police searching for the bodies of 2 missing New Hampshire children are coming up empty. New Hampshire Assistant Attorney General Jeff Strelzin told reporters today 14-year-old Sarah Gehring and her 11-year-old brother Philip have not been located.
We have not located the 2 children. We have received specific and general information, and we continue to follow up on that information and fine-tune our search parameters on a daily basis.
Strelzin adds that there is an accumulation of evidence from a variety of sources that their father, Manuel Gehring, may have had a hand in their disappearance, but authorities won't divulge any specifics. Gehring will make his first court appearance tomorrow. Strong earnings reports boosted the major market averages. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 57 points to finish at 91.77. The Nasdaq was up 21 to 17.54. The broader S&P 500 gained 5 points to finish at 10.03. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Sagittarius, Capricorn, Cancer. All sun signs that astrologists claim tell us something about a person. Cars have signs, too, that tell us if they're stolen. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. Ah, spring, birds, flowers, and that blanket of pollen fuzz on your car. There's got to be a way to protect that shiny paint of your ride. And there is. A car cover made from the standard in car cover fabric, Block It by Kimberly-Clark. Research shows that car cover owners are so happy with their car covers, they'd buy them all over again. So make sure you get the best Block It car cover fabric from Kimberly-Clark. Why have you waited so long? Block It by Kimberly-Clark. Blue nautical signs say smooth sailing. Yellow yield signs say slow down. Here are some red-hot signs that indicate the used car you're considering may be stolen. The vehicle identification number or VIN number on the title and on the car itself don't match, and the engine ID number is scratched off. License plates or plate bolts are brand new. Ignition switches feel loose, and keys are copies, not originals. Be aware, knowing these signs of red-hot theft can help you keep your hard-earned green. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing low, life's light.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
It's time we say goodbye to music. Say goodbye to song we can sing. This time
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. It's about 7:30 past the hour. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES. That's 800-825-5937. Write it down. Use it. Okay? This is going to be a short week for us. We're going to be here Monday through Thursday, and then we're gone for Friday and all next week. So if you want to get it said this week, we'd love to hear from you during the first 4 days of the week. Okay? If you'd like to email during the program, Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. Also, I think on Thursday we will have the Best of Ari Fleischer, our tribute to Ari the Liar. That's this Thursday coming. That's a million years from now, Kathy. Why are we talking about it now? Everything can happen in that short a period of time, right? We have some sound from Bush tonight, also from Rumsfeld. Oh, my God. And from Ari Fleischer. It's amazing how these folks don't even... We've talked about this before, but they, when they go on the Sunday television talk shows now, they don't even bother to, you know, try to shade the truth. They just come right out and lie. Because they know, first of all, that 60-70% of us don't care. They also know that most people are not watching Face the Nation or This Week or what's the other one, Kathy? Meet the Press. Late Call with Wolf Blitzer or whatever it's called. Final Call. What is it? Late Edition with Wolf Blitzer, former former U-boat captain. The Bush crime family spokespeople, they know that nobody's paying any attention. And even if we do, we don't care. It just doesn't matter. So knowing that nobody pays attention and knowing that no reporter, no news gathering organization, is going to take them to task. A few individual writers might. Robert Scheer of the LA Times, Paul Krugman, the New York Times. You know, there are a few writers who will take them to task. But the Bush crime family understands one basic truism about the United States, about us. We don't care. We just don't care. So some of the sound we have for you tonight, it's astonishing. It's just astonishing how Bush and Rumsfeld. Ari is defined by being a liar. Bush and Rumsfeld, you would think, since they are state executives that they would put a little spin on what they say. But they don't even do that anymore. It's just flat out, look into the camera or look at George or Judas Stephanopoulos or look at Media Whore number one Tim Russert and just lie. Just lie. Did you hear, I didn't get this story in time when Bush was in Africa, but when he made a visit to, where is this, Abuja, is this in Nigeria? Yeah, Liberia is where they're having all the trouble. Well, they're having trouble all over. But what happened in Abuja, this town in Nigeria, which is the capital, believe it or not, armed police, before Bush got there, armed police showed up with bulldozers. And they tore down so-called illegally built homes and shops in the Nigerian capital of Abuja. That was ahead of this the visit last week. I guess it was last Thursday or Wednesday by Too Stupid to Be President George W. Bush. Now, calling something an illegally built home in most countries in Africa is redundant beyond belief. Because of the corruption left over from colonialism in on that continent in so many countries. And it's not just Africa, South America, Central America, Mexico, so many places on this planet. Oh, my God. The Philippines, where folks have tried to build something, a lean-to, a shack, start a little business, just anything to survive. We Americans, we don't have a clue, do we? I mean, we really don't. We don't have a clue. We bitch and whine and moan if the price of gas goes above $1.60. It's incredible. I'm not here to whine about that tonight. You know, no lectures. But we don't. We don't understand. So here in Abuja, Nigeria, hundreds, scores, dozens of people had put little lean-tos, little houses, some of them made of bricks, little businesses together. Well, the president of Nigeria, Olusegun Obasanjo, however you pronounce it, Obasanjo, thought it looked tacky. And he didn't want his counterpart, Too Stupid to Be President, from the United States, the white man, coming into Nigeria in the capital and seeing the slums. So he ordered his police and his army to go out and destroy everything, get it out of the Nigerian president's eyes and get it away from Bush's, you know, so Bush wouldn't have to see it. According to a report from the Nigerian newspaper there, in one residential quarter of the city, reporters saw about 60 buildings ranging from, you know, brick-built structures to little wooden shanties, just plowed under as hundreds of residents, according to the paper here, looked on in despair. We're getting ready for the white man to come. So we're going to destroy your house, destroy your lean-to, destroy your business, destroy your livelihood, destroy your possessions. Everything comes down because the white man's coming. A tailor that the newspaper identifies as John Emeka says they didn't give us any warning. He saved his sewing machine, but he lost much of his stock. That would be his needles and threads and linens and so on and so forth. When a joint task force of police and environmental protection agents pulled, I'm not laughing at the story, I'm laughing at the names, pulled down his business, just destroyed it, just pushed it in the mud so the white man from America wouldn't have to look at this, okay? According to the paper, nearby the tailor's busted up little shack where he did business, a stock of computers lay mangled in the wreckage of an electronic goods store. Now, you can imagine what that place was like, right? Just a shack, a lean-to, where somebody was making a living. But the white man is coming. George Bush is coming. The white man is coming from America. And he's coming to Nigeria. And Nigeria has a lot of oil. And, you know, if we don't want the white man to get all upset. So we're going to tear down your home, tear down your business, tear down everything. We're going to destroy you and your family and your shack and your business and your livelihood. So that when the white man comes buzzing by 8 seconds in his limousine, he won't have to see how you live. A stock of computers lay mangled in the wreckage of an electronic goods store. The owner of a grilled meat stand. Think about that for a minute now. Okay. The owner of the grilled meat stand argued with officers attempting to rip his barbecue pit to pieces. He lost the argument. According to the newspaper in Abuja, Nigeria, the police came armed with assault rifles and tear gas. But there was no violence as the bulldozers rolled in, because the people knew the white man is coming. George Bush is coming. We have to have our lives destroyed so the white man can roll through Abuja, 8 seconds going past my little tacky, crappy business where I'm supporting my family. But the white man's eyes are more precious than my business. More than 2,000 Nigerian police and intelligence officers were deployed around Abuja to provide security for Bush's visit. 2,000. Well, sure. I'm trying to remember, when Clinton made his tours of Africa in 1998 and 2000, did they tear down businesses and barbecue pits and computer stores and tailor shops and lean-tos and buildings? And did they chase people away with machine guns and tanks and bulldozers so that that white man wouldn't have to look on the end result of 300-400 years of colonialism and destruction on the continent of Africa? Did they do all this for that white man too, or is it just this white man? Boy, I'll tell you, huh?
Yeah, but Mike, it was ordered by a black man, the president of Nigeria.
Yeah, that's very true. It was ordered by a black leader. Imagine the shame that black leader must feel. The white man's coming. We have to destroy everything. We have to burn it. Bulldoze it. Bury it. Who was it that said, they hate us because we buy houses. They hate us because we have freedom. No, I don't think so. This is one of the reasons that vast colored segment of the human species hate us. This is one of the reasons. What else we got to cheer up your evening here? Oh, my God. Oh, Malloy, you're so depressing. Why do I listen to your program? Oh, you just make me want to rip my eyes out. It's just awful, isn't it? Well, yeah, it is. But we don't have the EIB gold microphone here so we can dazzle you and tell you lies and make you dance on the end of our string. We just talk about what's happening. What's happening. We have some more quotes about... Well, we have a lot of stuff to cover about the exploding Iraqgate scandal that is going to envelop the Bush crime family. George, you are so impeached. You just don't know it yet. What's the guy with the monitor? Cheney, you are so impeached, dude. Now, it doesn't matter because these guys have, you've heard of golden parachutes. They have platinum plus parachutes. They're going to wind up, exploiting and plundering and pillaging the entire planet. But these guys are so out of office right now. The only thing that's going to keep them in office, there's just one thing, and that is a military lockdown on this country, where Bush engineers another attack on this country, or somebody in his administration engineers another attack on this country. And immediately after the attack, they say, "Well, look, this is awful. Martial law, martial law, martial law." Now, if that doesn't happen, George Bush is so impeached, and so is his filthy cabinet. It's just a matter of time. So we have more reportage for you on this enveloping scandal. Not just the nuclear jive turkey nonsense, the uranium coming out of Africa, but also the lies about the ties to Al-Qaeda, the lies about, more lies about the aluminum tubes. The government of Australia now has apologized for buying into the lie. You remember, they sent 1,000 troops. It was all white people that went to the Middle East. For the most part, British, American, white governments. British,
Mike, Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell are not white.
Yes, they are. It was all white governments that sent troops into the Middle East. So they're all, they're apologizing. The Bush crime family is not. But the Australians now are saying, we really screwed up. We apologize. We'll have some more of this coming back. Stay with us. It's going to be a fun night. I'm Mike Malloy.
Another one ripped her. Tired of you, I'm not getting
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Bartkop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Couple more quotes here, and then we're going to come to your phone calls, so stick around. Greg Thielman, or Thielman, who served as director of the Office of Strategic Proliferation and Military Affairs in Bush's State Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Research until September of last year. Greg Thielman is one of the people who discovered that the Bush crime family was lying through its teeth. He said today, quote, "I believe the Bush administration did not provide an accurate picture to the American people of the military threat posed by Iraq. Going down the list of administration deficiencies or distortions, one has to talk about, first and foremost, the nuclear threat being hyped. In particular, Mr. Thielman writes, I believe something was seriously amiss, about George W. Bush's reference in his State of the Union speech to a report that Iraq was trying to procure uranium from Africa. My office had concluded previously that this was bad information, and this assessment was delivered to Secretary of State Colin Powell in March of 2002. Now, when did Bush commit his lies, his impeachable offense? State of the Union was 10 months later, almost 11 months later, January 28th. Colin Powell, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice. Now, George Tenet is the one who's been elected to fall on the sword. I'll tell you who's responsible here, who is really responsible. They're all thieves and crooks and slime. But Condoleezza Rice is the one who should resign. If anyone should, all of them should just walk out of Washington and apologize to the American public. But it's Condoleezza Rice. Ray McGovern worked as a CIA analyst for 27 years. He said today, quote, there's just too much evidence that Ambassador Joseph Wilson was sent to Niger at the behest of Cheney's office, and that Wilson's findings were duly reported not only to Cheney, but to others as well. Equally important, it was Cheney who launched, in a speech on August 26, 2002, the lies, the concerted campaign to persuade Congress and the American people that Saddam Hussein was about to get his hands on nuclear weapons. So Dick Cheney is the one, boy, what a slime ball, huh? Dick Cheney is the one who got out there August 26 and started the echo chamber, the lies. Now, remember what Joseph Goebbels said. It doesn't make any difference what sort of society you're operating in. Repeat the big lie often enough from highest levels of government, and the people eventually come to believe it. Just repeat it over and over and over and over again. And in this country, with a complicit media that also doesn't care. Now, if you remember the media in the run-up, and I'm talking about television, and, of course, the pigs that operate and talk radio, they were just salivating for this war to begin, especially the cable channels. Oh, my God. And even the networks. Oh, God, give us the war. Oh, yes. We are so sick of talking about dead interns and pregnant wives washing up on shore with their baby ripped from their wombs. We're so sick of that. Disappearing children. Give us a war, please. Oh, dear God. Here's 300 of our finest. Embed them with your military operations and let us have the war. Let us have the war. So we had a complicit media. In the meantime, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, and, of course, too stupid to be president, every single one of them were lying. Now, is this an impeachable offense? To take a nation into war based on lies, not distortions, not half-truths, but based solely, purely, and exclusively on lies. Is that not a reason to overthrow a government one way or the other? Either get it out legally or excise it like you would a skin cancer. I mean, isn't that, you know, to use John Dean's expression of a cancer on the presidency, isn't that what we're dealing with here, a cancer on this country? Isn't it time to get rid of it? Isn't it? Every single one of these people lied. They didn't lie about taxes. They didn't lie about the environment. They lie about that stuff all the time. But in this instance, they lied about war.
Listen, the Vice President's doing a heck of a good job.
For the Prince of Darkness any longer.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Verizon Communications must rehire 2,300 workers it laid off last December after an arbitrator ruled Friday their dismissal was in violation of their union contract. The jobs, all based in New York State, needed to be cut because of what Verizon called weak economic conditions in the telecommunications industry. But that's not enough justification to invoke a clause in a contract with the Communications Workers of America allowing for immediate layoffs. In addition to getting their jobs back, all 2,300 workers will receive more than 6 months' worth of back pay, which will cost Verizon an estimated $100 million.
Disney's employees, which the corporation likes to call its cast members, have long been bound by a Byzantine set of regulations regarding hair length and color, facial hair, as well as prohibitions on tattoos, piercings, and various forms of jewelry. But for the first time since 2000, the company has rolled back its restrictions on personal grooming and dress. For the first time, men will be allowed to wear their hair in braids, albeit above the collar. Women, meanwhile, will be permitted to wear more revealing footwear and less conservative earrings. Pantyhose, however, are still mandatory.
Has the state of Wisconsin been unwittingly helping strikebreakers in a four-month walkout at a Tyson Foods pepperoni processing plant? United Food and Commercial Workers Union Local 538, which represents the 470 striking workers at the plant in Jefferson, has discovered that at least 20 convicted felons on probation or parole are working to help keep the facility running. Many of them are still living in halfway houses. The Wisconsin Department of Corrections says it has no control over how offenders get jobs. That's handled through a private temp agency. However, the state does say it will stop referring offenders to that agency so as to help clear up any misunderstanding.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. So while this scandal of monumental proportions rolls across this country, and 70% of Americans don't even realize what's going on, a few of us do. You do, because you tune into this program and you have your own sources. I'm not saying you get your information from here. This is just where we come in the evening to talk about it. I know about it because I have my sources of information too, you know, which is the Internet, just like yours. But while this horrendous scandal rolls across this country, you know, most Americans just continue doing what they're doing, not realizing that not only do we have an illegal regime, but we have one now that has no hesitation in lying to us, in lying to the world, in lying to the UN, in lying to anybody that they choose to lie to. And it's not going to stop. It's certainly not going to stop. There's no lesson being learned here by the Bush crime family because there's no penalty so far that they've had to pay. The only penalty will be to remove them from office. Now, again, in my opinion, they are so impeached, the whole crew of them. But, of course, they will have a different point of view. In their minds, they are above the law. They're outside the law. In the minds of right-wingers in this country, which is everyone who votes Republican, every member of the Republican Party, they are heroes. To the religious right, they are fulfilling a God's prophecy or Christ's prophecy or somebody's prophecy about ending the world as we know it. So that leaves us, about 35% of us, who are sitting back going, Jesus, is this really happening? Is this really? Yes, it is really happening. Andrew Wilkie, was a senior intelligence analyst for Australia's intelligence agency, which is the ONA, Office of National Assessments. He resigned in protest of what his government had done, March 11th this year. And what his government had done at the time was to send, commit 1,000 troops to go kill and be killed in Iraq based on false, lying information. Wilkie said today, quote, in my former core role as the senior Office of National Assessment transnational issues analyst, I was involved routinely in matters relating to Iraq. This provided me with virtually unrestricted access to the intelligence database on that country. What I'm saying, quite simply, is that the British, American, and Australian governments grossly exaggerated the threat posed by Iraq's WMD program in order to justify the war. The claim that the British dossier and other statements reflect accurately the view of the UK Joint Intelligence Committee just doesn't ring true to me. I saw countless assessments while at the ONA. Never did I see such a string of unqualified and strong judgments as was contained in the British September dossier. As for the claim that Iraq was seeking to procure uranium from Niger, my understanding of this matter is that the CIA knew as far back as early 2002 that the story was false. I have a very clear recollection that our Australian intelligence agency knew there was doubt about the Niger story in 2002. Colin Powell made claims to the UN Security Council purporting that a link exists between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. As far as that is concerned, I'm aware that there was no evidence, and there is still no evidence, that there is any cooperation between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. Every single reason that was given to us, the American people, forget the Aussies and the Brits, let them handle their own crises. Every single reason that was given to us, the American people, was a lie. Not a stretching of the truth, not an exaggeration, not a different point of view. It was nothing more than a complete lie. Now, it's one thing to lie about your girlfriend and whether or not you were being unfaithful to your wife. That's a tacky, bad thing. It's something else, again, to lie and send thousands of people to their deaths. To lie and send thousands of people to their deaths, which is precisely what George Bush and his murderous cabinet did. Now, how does that set him apart from Hitler and Hitler's cabinet where it concerned Poland? How does that set him apart from Stalin and Stalin's murderers where it concerned Georgia? How does that set him apart from Mao and Mao's murderers where it concerns Tibet? Can somebody explain that to me? Would you please? Is it because George talks with God? Is it because Jesus finds favor with this murderous little twerp from Texas? Will somebody please tonight explain the difference to me and our vast erudite audience why George Bush is different from Hitler, Stalin, or Mao? He lied and thousands died. Maybe somebody can do that. Now, Bush met with Kofi Annan today, the UN Secretary General, to discuss the situation in Africa. Afterwards, they had a little meeting in front of reporters, as too stupid to be president always does. One of the intrepid crack White House press corps stepped forward and said, Mr. President, on Iraq, what steps are being taken to ensure that questionable information, like the African uranium material, doesn't come to your desk and wind up in your speeches?
I think the intelligence I get is darn good intelligence. And the speeches I have given were backed by good intelligence.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
And I am absolutely convinced today, like I was convinced when I gave the speeches, that Saddam Hussein developed a program of weapons of mass destruction.
This is our president?
And that our country made the right decision.
Oh, my God.
We are in the process now of
torturing,
interrogating people inside of Iraq to and looking at documents, exploring documents to determine the extent that what we can find as quickly as possible.
Now, wait a second, George. You and your mass-murdering compadres sat in front of the American people, the American Congress, the United Nations, and said that you not only did you show us pictures, you knew what groves of coconut trees and where, and the buildings, where all this stuff was going on. You knew where the missiles were. Matter of fact, you located them for us geographically. Of course, the U.S. military has gone to these places now, and there's nothing there. But what do you mean, George, that you're exploring documents to determine what we can find as quickly as possible? In the first place, as usual, you make no sense. You're an illiterate thug punk. You're a schoolyard bully, and you're going to be found out. You are so impeached, bro. You are going to go down, George, and your entire illegal government. You really are, one way or the other. But when you're asked a simple question, you have to dissemble. You can't answer. In this one, Bush gets a little frizzled, a little frazzled, while he blames George Tenet for George Bush's lie. Reporter says, Mr. President, back on the question of Iraq, and that specific line that has been in question, even though there has been some question about the intelligence community knowing beforehand that perhaps it wasn't true, you still believe that when you gave it?
The speech that I gave was cleared by the CIA. And, look, I mean, the thing that's important to realize is that we're constantly gathering data. Subsequent to the piece of speech, the CIA had some doubts. But when I gave this, when they talked about the speech, when they looked at the speech, it was cleared.
Oh, you're
otherwise,
so
I wouldn't have put it in the speech.
You're so
I'm not interested in talking about intelligence unless it's cleared by the CIA. And, as Director Tenet said, it was cleared by the CIA.
God, listen to that. Listen to those lies, one after another. And in this instance, too stupid to be president understands he is lying. Listen to him stumble. Listen to him. Does this sound like a world leader? This sounds like some punk failed business person who is caught selling phony stock. That's what it sounds like. Does this sound like the leader of the free world? Does this sound like somebody who has at his disposal thousands of nuclear weapons? Does this sound like somebody who has at his disposal the ability to unleash American technology against AIDS in Africa? No, of course not. This sounds like a punk, thug, third-rate, failed businessman bully who's being grilled by a prosecutor as to why he issued phony stock certificates. That's what this guy sounds like. Last one, continuing to answer and trying to redirect the reporter's question about his lie. And this time, he just lies again. See if you can hear where the first lie comes in, okay?
The larger point is, and the fundamental question is, did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program? And the answer is absolutely. And we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't let him in.
Bingo!
And therefore, after a reasonable request, we decided to remove him from power along with other nations so as to make sure he was not a threat to the United States and our friends and allies in the region. I firmly believe the decisions we made will make America more secure and the world more peaceful.
America is more at risk and the world is in chaos thanks to your incompetence, your lies, your inability to run a baseball team, a cheesy-ass little oil company out in the Badlands of Texas, or the office of the presidency of the United States. You're a failure, George. You're an utter, absolute failure. But you heard it, didn't you? The answer is, did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program? The answer is absolutely. Here it comes. And we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in, and he wouldn't let them in. You see what I mean? The place was crawling with UN inspectors. Report after report was coming out. The inspectors were pulled by the United Nations when George Bush said, I'm going to bomb and kill and pillage Iraq. I'm going to attack. I'm going to attack because I'm tired of waiting. You better get your little cheesy-ass inspectors out. But there he sits today with Kofi Annan. Now, you have to wonder. Kofi Annan is an educated man. George Bush is a dunce. Kofi Annan must have somewhere in him a moral center. George Bush is amoral. Kofi Annan must somewhere have a set of ethical principles by which he runs his life. George Bush has none. So when George Bush sits there and says, we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in and he wouldn't let them in, at that point, don't you wonder, I do, why Kofi Annan didn't stand up, turn to Mr. Bush and say, Mr. Bush, you are a hopeless, lying thug, and walk out. What could happen to Kofi Annan? Could he be shot? Could he be arrested? Could he be declared a terrorist? Why doesn't somebody with moral authority stand up to George Bush and say, you are a liar, you are a phony, you are a killer? Why not some foreign leader? Why not the head of the UN? Why not a member of the United States Congress, a Democrat? Why not a Republican? Why does nobody, why not a news reporter? I would do it. If I had a chance, I would stand in front of George Bush and call him exactly what it is. And if I felt like it, I'd pee all over his pants leg. What? And I'm not a brave man. I'm just average. I'm just a regular dude. Is there nobody in this country, nobody on this planet other than Saddam or Osama bin Laden or the head of North Korea, Kim Jong-il, whatever the hell his name is? Is there nobody other than these thugs who will call another thug, George Bush, a thug? Is there not an honest man? Is there not a non-thug? Is there not an honest woman? Is there nobody? Is there nobody when they're confronted with George Bush's lies, his cowardice, his bullying attitude? Is there nobody? Not even Kofi Annan? Well, now, wait a second. Nelson Mandela called it right, didn't he? Okay, let me rephrase it. Is there not a white person on this planet? God, we are just enmeshed in race tonight, aren't we? Hmm? Is there not a white leader on this planet who will look George Bush in the eye and call him a liar? I will. I'll be happy to do it. I do it every night. Of course, you know, I do it from here. Somebody get me an appointment. Oh, yeah, that'll happen. Get me an appointment with Bush. And I'll say it to his face. To show just how stupid he is, when he was in Senegal, he was in Dakar, when he went to... He was talking to the embassy staff, the U.S. embassy staff. And I've got his whole statement here, but he says this. This is an historic trip. Oh, there's the ambassador. And then there was applause. But we are so honored to start our trip to this continent here in Senegal. I had the opportunity to go out to Gori Island and talk about what slavery meant to America. It's very interesting when you think about it. The slaves who left here to go to America because of their steadfast and their religion and their belief in freedom. This man does not understand that the slaves were free. They were free men and women in Africa. And they were bound into slavery on their trip to America. The man stands there in Dakar, Senegal, in front of embassy staff and the U.S. ambassador to Senegal. And he says, you know, when the Africans left this continent to go to America for freedom, And I mean, the entire scope of African history that was so perverted by the Portuguese and the Spanish and the British and the Americans who bloodied their souls in this horrible slave trade. All of that swept away because of Bush's profound ignorance. Is there a 5-year-old black child or a 7-year-old white child in this country who doesn't know that the blacks were brought to this country in chains? It's astonishing. George Bush says. It's very interesting when you think about it. The slaves who left here to go to America because of their religion and their belief in freedom, they helped change America. Is that not astonishing? Is that not beyond belief? How do his black hosts and the white ambassador to Senegal, assuming he's white. How do they stand there? How do they sit there and allow this moron to say something like that?
Not him. What I'm telling you is actual fact. I ain't pro-human because all humans ain't pro-black. Remember in your mind that there still exists a plan to bring down a black fist. See, the struggle is uphill. Life's at a standstill. Jackpot Jill. Now we don't act real. And every living moment got us singing the blues. A sole provider can't afford the baby shoes. That's the cycle so many of us go through. America's black holocaust continues. And I just hope we wake up soon before we fold. I miss the days of old.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
How long shall they kill our prophets? Stand aside and look. Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to.
Let's see. There I was sitting around the leader with the table with foreign leaders, looking at Colin Powell and Condi Rice. Yeah.
Do you think he understands his how basic and elemental his racism is? And his ignorance. I just wonder, you know, he addresses the embassy staff in Dakar, Senegal, and explains to them how wonderful it was for Africans to leave Africa in order to find freedom in America. Does nobody tell him, George? The Africans who were taken off this continent were taken in chains, and the ones that survived the Middle Passage were sold like animals. Were not even animals. They're sold like bushels of corn. Does nobody tell this ignorant fool his own history? I mean, does he not know it? Our senior correspondent has an interesting take on Bush's lies regarding the CIA. Remember, Bush said to Mahmoud Abbas, the interim Palestinian prime minister until the Israelis have him killed, Bush told Abbas that God told him to attack Iraq. Wasn't that the direct quote in Haaretz, the Israeli one of the Israeli newspapers, that God told him to go after Osama, God told him to go after Saddam. That's what Bush said. So now he's saying that George Tenet told him what to lie about. George Tenet didn't put the lie in Bush's mouth, brain, a cranial cavity. God did, according to Bush. You know, when the revelation, you'll pardon the unintended pun, when the revelation that Bush had talks with God, where God, in the same manner as when God talked to Moses and Joshua and said, Moses, you're not going to go to the promised land, but Joshua is, and when you get there, you're going to go kill everybody. Now, when we hear that and we go, whoa, man, that's pretty weird stuff. Jeez, wow. You know, some people really believe that. But here's Bush saying the same thing. Just like Moses, just like Joshua, just like David, just like whomever. God talks directly to Bush and said, go kill, you know, go attack Iraq. So it didn't come from George Tenet. It came from God. It's come from God. But if there is a God, why would he appoint a moronic jackass like George Bush? There's something that maybe Nietzsche can get his mind around.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling about
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Prosecutors in the case of Team D.C. area sniper suspect Lee Boyd Malvo say they're not aware of any witnesses who would back up defense claims that Malvo was under the spell of alleged accomplice John Allen Muhammad. Last month, Malvo's attorneys filed a motion demanding over 20 pages of police interviews with alleged witnesses who reported seeing Malvo under the spell of Muhammad before or during the sniper attacks. A Fairfax County, Virginia judge is weighing the defense motion. With Tropical Storm Claudette's course growing more unpredictable by the hour, Texas officials in Galveston are preparing for the worst. Galveston Emergency Management Director Elliot Jennings says they're already urging some residents to evacuate the island.
At this time, we are encouraging residents of the West End to go ahead and evacuate today. Our concern is that high tides, in particular tomorrow morning, will flood some of the roadways, and evacuation may not be possible at that time.
Much of the Texas coast is under a hurricane warning. The storm is expected to be a Category 1 hurricane by the time it hits land. Forecasters believe conditions along the Texas coast will get worse starting early tomorrow.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patent active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
Officials in Massachusetts and New York have launched a joint inquiry into the sale of mutual funds by Wall Street giant Morgan Stanley. Judy Ewell reports.
Massachusetts Secretary of State William Galvin and New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer allege that Morgan Stanley pressured brokers and branch managers to sell in-house funds to investors who didn't know that the brokers got additional compensation for pitching those funds. Massachusetts regulators today filed a complaint that alleges Morgan Stanley misled them by denying the practice. Congressman Barney Frank was on hand to warn that state regulators could be banned from settling such investigations if a bill before the House Financial Services Committee becomes law. I'm Judy Ewell at the State House in Boston.
All six unions at the Pennsylvania Convention Center have signed off on a deal that could be the start of labor peace at the facility. Building Trades Council head Pat Gillespie says the agreement is a win for everyone involved.
We'll be able to regain our market share, something that we all have a keen interest in. So we'll be generating jobs. No one loses in this deal. We all win.
The agreement comes days before a proposal was to be put through in Harrisburg to make the convention center workers state employees. It also paves the way to approve money for expansion of the facility.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Four aircraft and about 100 troops have been sent by the U.S. military to Senegal and Sierra Leone to support the quick exit of a team assessing possible military involvement in Liberia. Three Pave Hawk helicopters and a combat shadow airplane are now nearby just in case the humanitarian assistance survey team in Liberia needs to be evacuated in an emergency. The Bush administration is under increasing pressure to intervene in Liberia and end nearly 14 years of violence in the African nation, which was founded by freed American slaves in the 1800s. Defense officials are said to be considering a plan that would deploy as many as 2,000 U.S. troops to act as peacekeepers. A string of strong earnings reports boosted the major market averages today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 57 points to 91.77. The Nasdaq jumped 21 points to 1754, and the S&P 500 gained 5 to 1003. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. It's raining cats and dogs. You're slowing down, being careful. But you hit a wet patch, and there you go, hydroplaning. Now, what causes it, and what can you do about it? When we come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is Racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Christian Fittipaldi. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
When tires meet road water, they can do two things. Channel the water and remain on pavement, or skim on top of the water. Hydroplaning occurs when tires, especially bald ones, ride on a wedge of water and lose contact with the road. Your car is literally skiing in the street. When this happens, take your foot off the gas, but don't brake. Braking can cause your car, and sometimes you, to spin out of control. But the best way to hedge against hydroplaning is to equip your car with well-treaded tires. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Welcome back. All right, you know what we're talking about? The this enveloping, ever-widening scandal. Condoleezza Rice is a liar. Rumsfeld. We'll have some sound for you from him on Meet the Press with media whore number one Tim Russert this past Sunday. Or yesterday, coming up a little bit later in the program. I want to get some of your calls right now. But that's what we got on the table right now, this ever-widening circle of lies and deceptions and deceit in order to take this country into war, in order to kill 216, where are we now, American soldiers, in order to kill, 10,000 Iraqi military and civilians. Is that where, or is that 10,000 figure just civilians, or is that all Iraqis? Right? Who knows? Who's keeping track? What did the U.S. military command say? We're not. Was it Tommy Franks? We're not in the body count business. The hell you're not. That's exactly the business you're in. Of course, he's no longer the four-star general. He's going to go make his money now. Tommy Franks. But this ever-widening circle of deception, the truth of the ever-widening circle of deception, is coming out. I'm intrigued to see how the Bush crime family puts a stopper in this. I'm curious as to see to what extent U.S. media will go along in killing this story or treating this story as if it were, oh, just something that happened. For heaven's sake, it was 16 words. Isn't that what they're all saying now? 16 words. I realize the Bush thug apologists are saying 16 words, but the media is repeating it. So we'll see what happens, won't we? Won't we? And whether or not this criminal, filthy regime stays in power in this country will be determined to a large extent by how zealous the media is in reporting this story. They fell all over themselves. They stuffed their faces in Monica and Bill's crotches in order to get that story, and it was unrelenting and unending. Are they going to do the same with this story? Huh? Is Clinton's penis a lesser story than George Bush's murderous actions to take this country into war and to kill 200-plus Americans and thousands of Iraqis? Which story is the bigger? Which one is the more important, Bill Clinton's penis or George Bush's criminal acts? Which one? We know which one is more important to Republicans and to right-wingers, Bill Clinton's penis, and it always will be. But to normal human beings, which story is more important? Clint's calling from Dearborn. Hey, Clint.
Hi, Mike. I hope you can hear me all right.
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, that's good. I was calling about this whole Iraq thing, and I thought it was interesting over the weekend hearing more and more of this the story coming out, and I read in the Toronto Star over the weekend about the tape coming out saying that Al-Qaeda is behind the attack. So that's
right.
That's another Bush lie that's coming out.
Yes, of course. Everything they say is a lie. Everything. There is nothing. And again, you know, I have a standing challenge to any right-winger, Republican, conservative, knuckle-dragger, any way they want to identify themselves, to state one thing that Bush has done since he's been in office that, first of all, benefits Americans, but now I've expanded it, one thing that has not been a lie. And nobody can respond, because everything he's done has been a lie. There's not a Republican or right-winger out there who can call this program and say, well, Mike, here's something he did that benefits America, or here's something he said that wasn't a lie.
Yeah. Well, you know, the journalist on the Canadian broadcasting was coming out and saying, well, this is the latest lie from George Bush. So you know, you're not listening to American news.
No, not when that sort of a statement is made. No, and probably that Canadian news commentator will go home tonight and find his family is dead and his dog has had his throat cut.
I hope not. It was kind of interesting too. I heard John Chrétien. They had a little few comments from him with the latest lies, and he said, well, I guess this is the reason we didn't back the U.S. in going into Iraq in the first place.
Yeah, really. Hello. Sure.
So, yeah, it's a pretty incredible story. I think more and more American people want to see this guy gone. But I, you know, the only thing that will stop it is if the election is honest or not. Don't you think?
Well, yeah, and I don't have very much faith that the election is going to be honest and true. Now, a lot of people listening to this program take issue with that point of view. But like Mao, like Stalin, like Hitler, like any tyrant, like any thug, like any authoritarian, like any dictator, and the regime that the cadre that keeps that regime in power, they do not just give up power. You know, they don't indulge themselves in 4 years of power and say, well, okay, I've had enough power. Now let's see. I think I'll go play Parcheesi. No, they don't do that.
They don't.
The only way power is taken away from a tyrant is through force. And then usually you get another tyrant who steps in. So I don't know. George W. Bush and his cadre of thugs and killers is going to be a real challenge for the principles that this country was founded on come 2004. The history of this country rides on that election, and the future of this country rides on that election.
Exactly.
So I hope I'm alive. I hope I'm around to see it, to see what happens, to see to what extent Americans are willing to insist that the principles upon which the country was founded, at least the principles of law, are valid and need to be reclaimed, and these killers, these thugs, need to be removed from office.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, listen, Clint, thank you for checking in. I appreciate your call, sir.
Yeah, have a nice vacation.
Yeah, all right, I'll do that. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. What Clint's referring to, we'll be here tonight, obviously, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. We're gone Friday and next week. We're taking some time off It's not really a vacation, is it, Kathy? It's a visit. We're going to go to Toledo. Toledo, Ohio. See, that's not a vacation. We're going to go visit my my mother. All right, so now you know what I'm going to do. Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon. Hey, Joe.
I was thinking...
Excuse me. Our Brookings, Oregon bureau chief.
That's right.
Okay.
And I was just thinking about what a cozy little political community Washington, D.C. is. George Tenet was appointed by Bill Clinton in the first place, and George Tenet is a close personal friend of the Bush crime family. And, George Tenet went ahead and let our president down. So, obviously what needs to be done, it's pretty obvious to me, is that Bill Clinton needs to be impeached one more time.
Or arrested or jailed or something. But just like Chris in Minnesota emailed to me, Bush said that he told the Palestinian prime minister that it was God. God himself, capital G, God told him to go after Saddam.
Yeah, which is God up on charges?
Well, no, but which is it? Is it George Tenet or is it God? Who was it that whispered into this psychopath, the sociopath's ear, and said, "Go, George, attack, attack"? Was it George Tenet? Was it Condi Rice? Or was it God? As long as there's a question.
Maybe it's all three because he's hearing voices.
Well, that's probably it, too. Thanks, Joe. Ha! Got off before he did. Joe gets off quicker than gets off the phone quicker than anybody, any of our bureau chiefs, and bless him for it. Senator Jay Rockefeller from West Virginia, Democrat, in a conversation with NPR's Steve Inskeep. When was it? Yesterday, or Saturday? Now Rockefeller is the ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. He says the White House unfairly made George Tenet the scapegoat for this Iraq nonsense. But Rockefeller's the first one to bring this up. Rockefeller also told Steve Inskeep on NPR that Condoleezza Rice, quote, had to have known, end quote, a year before Bush's State of the Union address this past January, that the intelligence claiming the Iraqi agents were attempting to purchase uranium from Africa was an absolute fabrication. Condoleezza Rice had to know it. Of course she did. So while Condoleezza, it was out of her mouth, you see, when they were all in Africa, that George Tenet was handed the poison pill, the cup of hemlock. If you remember, when Bush is talking about how nice it was that the Africans 300-400 years ago, when there wasn't even a United States, left Africa willingly and hopefully to go find freedom. Oh Jesus, I can't even talk about that. It was during that African trip that Condoleezza Rice handed George Tenet his cup of poison hemlock and said, "Here, drink. But it's Condoleezza Rice, the national security advisor. This is like the Machiavelli character. This is the one who whispers into the ear of the prince. This is the one who said, this is the national security advisor. Either she is or she isn't. Now, George, I think George is tickled by the fact that he stops just short of saying, well, my national security advisor and my secretary of state are both Negroes, so anytime somebody tells me that I have racist policies, I just look around the table and I look at Condi and I look at Colin and I go, don't you see my Negroes? See, there's her and there's him. They're bookends. See, and did my daddy put Uncle Clarence on the Supreme Court? We're not racist. See, but it's Condoleezza Rice, the national security advisor, who had to have known a year before Bush's speech, State of the Union speech, that it was all fake. But she is so willing to toss. What kind of a deal did they cut for George Tenet? Huh? What kind of a deal? Now, referring to the Bush crime family and the CIA trying to defuse this controversy, Rockefeller said on NPR, I think it raises more questions than it settles, and I think it's far from over. He goes on to say, I cannot believe that Condi Rice, directly from Africa, pointed the finger at George Tenet when she had known, had to have known, a year before the State of the Union. Oh, my God. Call your congresswoman, your senator, your mayor. It's time for all the scholars to unite with all the players. Rearranging C, times are definitely changing G. They used to tap the phone, now they tapping while you paging me. It's crazy B, yet it's plain to see who the enemy, who's left. The NRA, the ATF, the AMA, okay. It's all irrelevant, cause in the new millennium, there'll be no central intelligence. Throw your hands up.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Is our president a liar? Well, even if you're a Bush backer, you have to admit he's never going to win the Little George Washington I Cannot Tell a Fib award. George W. would never admit to being an out-and-out liar, but he has certainly spent a lifetime as a deflector, deflecting inconvenient truth as routinely as a Teflon pan rejects sticky food. For example, here's a sticky question. Even though he was a hawkish supporter of U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, did he dodge service in that war by using his famous family's political connections to cut in line ahead of thousands of other young men who were seeking slots in the Air National Guard, thus allowing young George to spend his war years defending Houston against the Viet Cong? Bush deflects the truth by impatiently declaring that no member of his family intervened with officials to give him a special break. Come on, George. You know that families of privilege don't leave fingerprints by seeking such favors directly. Instead, the dirty work in this case was handled by Sid Adger, an oil man neighbor of the Bushes, who called the Speaker of the Texas House of Representatives at the time, getting him to call the head of the Texas Guard, and shazam, George zipped to the front of the line. Well, says a defiant Bush, the Guard is a legitimate branch of the military, and I'm proud of my service there. More deflection. No one is challenging the legitimacy of the Guard, George. The challenge is how you pull political rank to get into it. And, by the way, if you were so proud of being there, why and how were you able to go AWOL for a year of your National Guard duty, simply disappearing and not reporting for your assignments? This is Jim Hightower saying, those who now wonder whether Bush is blatantly lying to us about everything from weapons of mass destruction in Iraq to the true impact of his tax giveaways to the rich, you need only look to his past record. George never lies, but he's an inveterate deflector of the truth.
The Iraqi regime is a threat to any American and to threats who are friends of America.
Twenty-four past the hour. Now, Donald Rumsfeld, and if you're on hold, just stick around. We're going to be there in just a second. Rumsfeld, Meet the Press with media whore number one, Tim Russert. Tim Russert asks Rumsfeld about the continuing slaughter of U.S. troops in Iraq. We lost more over the weekend, didn't we? While Rumsfeld sits there with that smarmy, filthy, murderous look on his face, more U.S. soldiers died. More American families will get the word that their son is dead. Russert says to this filthy drunk, Mr. Secretary, Robert Byrd, the Democratic senator from West Virginia, said it's an urban guerrilla shooting gallery over there. Do you agree?
Well, it is not restricted to urban areas.
Okay, stop it right there. Stop it right there. Okay. It's not restricted to urban areas. This unconscionable, here comes a bad word, get away from the radio. This unconscionable son of a bitch. It's not restricted to urban areas. The question is, Robert Byrd says it's an urban guerrilla shooting gallery. And what kind of a snotty remark, answer, does Rumsfeld give? Well, it's not restricted to urban areas, for one thing. He doesn't care. These people don't care. Why are American parents allowing their sons and daughters to participate in this filthy, filthy regime? Why? If I had a son who wanted to go in the military right now, I would break both his legs. All right, you got it queued back up again? Let's do it again. This is media whore number one, Tim Russert, says to Rumsfeld, Mr. Secretary Robert Byrd, the Democratic senator from West Virginia, said it's an urban guerrilla shooting gallery. Do you agree?
Well, it is not restricted to urban areas, for one thing. It is happening in some urban centers. It's also happening in some non-urban areas.
Jesus.
Is it a shooting gallery? Are people being shot at? Yes. Is it a difficult situation? You bet. Are more people going to be killed? I'm afraid that's true.
Oh, you bastard.
On the other hand, the outcome is going to be a good outcome. It's an enormously important country. What we're doing there is important, and we're making progress.
Yeah, the oil is flowing, right? Are more people going to be killed? I'm afraid that's true. I don't understand this. I do not understand this. Why, unless they're crazy, why American parents who have children in the Army, why those parents don't send an email, a letter, something to their sons or their daughters and say, even if you have to serve a year in prison, violate the next order and get out of there. Because the people who are running the U.S. military occupation of Iraq are insane. And they don't care how many Americans die, how many Iraqis die. They don't care. Is it a shooting gallery, Rumsfeld says? Are people being shot at? Yes. Is it a difficult situation? You bet. Are more people going to be killed? I'm afraid that's true. I mean, and we allow this. We allow this cold-blooded murderer who will sacrifice your son, your daughter, your husband, your mom. He doesn't care. Are more people going to be killed? Well, I'm afraid that's true. That's just the way it is. Yep, they're going to die. Yep, they sure are.
Could exploit them for the subterranean stash. When rulers kill their people, our leaders say it's of no concern to us. As long as we get our hands on that greasy, slimy stuff. For the love of oil, we lost 4,000 people. For the love of oil, we'll run
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The melting of snow and ice at the top of the world could change the weather everywhere. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The ice cover on the Arctic Ocean is disappearing, and temperatures inside the Arctic Circle have been going up for several decades. Many scientists say these are the first signs of global warming, and they say the changes in the far north will be felt around the world. Mark Serez is an atmospheric scientist at the University of Colorado in Boulder, and he monitors Arctic conditions for the National Snow and Ice Data Center. Serez says the frigid climate of the North Pole is a key element of some of the world's dominant weather patterns. These patterns are shaped by the circulation of air between the equator and the poles. Warm, moist air is constantly moving away from the equator and toward the poles. At the same time, cold, dense air is moving away from polar regions and toward the equator. Serez says this could change with the melting of snow and ice inside the Arctic Circle.
Well, if we start to change the snow and ice cover, we start to change the strength of that cold pole. What will happen then is that we will have responses of the global circulation to the changes that we see in the Arctic. The key here is that the global climate really very strongly depends on the strength of this cold pole. You change that cold pole, the strength of that, the atmospheric circulation changes, this can have global ramifications.
For example, warmer temperatures in the Arctic could change the atmospheric patterns that make westerly winds so common across much of North America. Serez says the warming climate in the far north might lead to more precipitation inside the Arctic Circle. That, in turn, could affect the temperature and salinity of the Arctic Ocean and the North Atlantic. Changes like that could affect great ocean currents such as the Gulf Stream and alter climates around the world. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. I've gotten several email requests here about the statement Bush made when he was in Senegal about Africans. Of course, he has no historical frame of reference. He doesn't know that the slave trade to the Western Hemisphere began in the late 1500s. He doesn't understand that. He doesn't know that the slave trade to the Western Hemisphere was 200 years old by the time the United States was born. George doesn't know that. But several people have said, you know, will you post it? Yes, I post all of this stuff at my website. That's why I don't push it enough. MikeMalloy.com. Every single night. every single night when the program's over, which means, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, Kathy and I sit at the computer and put this stuff in, all the links. Now, every once in a while, we put in a wrong link, and, you know, I'll get emails, that didn't work. We do the best we can. Remember, this is a two-person operation. Oh, gee, Mike. Sounds like I'm whining. No, everything that we talk about on this program, unless it's just one of my mindless rants, we source for you. We'll put the link to where we got the story, and you can go check it out. And usually in checking out the story, you will find a couple of links that will take you even further into the story. And have fun. Pursue it. But in answer to these questions, people always say, well, will you send me a link? And actually, no, I can't. I just can't do it. If I get 10 requests, people say, well, send me a link to that story. It's at my site when the program's over. Now, I'm not trying to be a scold here. I've just said this so many times. Every single thing that we put on this program, we source and we put it on the main page. Just scroll down a little bit. What does it say, Kathy? Recent program topics. Is that what it is? Okay. And every one of those titles will be a live link, and you can find it, okay? I'm not scolding. I'm just saying. It's all there. GK emailed this in during the break about the 16 words that the right wing are talking about now.
Oh, it's just 16 words. Jesus, what do you want? Yeah.
So GK writes, hello again, Mike, the latest right-wing spin.
It's just 16 little words.
Isn't it amazing the abject hypocrisy of the right-wing lemming dumb puppyhood, the right-wingers? How about these 11 words? I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. That's 11 words. The right-wing nuts in this country went ballistic and spent more than $70 million over those 11 words, and nobody died over them. And they want to simply dismiss 16 words that led directly to a preemptive invasion, where the number of killed is in the thousands, including hundreds of our finest soldiers, and counting. And people wonder why right-wingers are so intolerable. Yeah, Republicans, right-wingers, conservatives, all of them. They're disgusting. They're contemptible. They're filthy. Have I said yet tonight that I hate Republicans? Oh, well. Now, it wasn't just our last correspondent there who made the comparison between those 16 words and the 8 or 11 or 10, depending on how you want to count Clinton's words. Anyway. It's astonishing, isn't it? Isn't it astonishing? Now, I want to go back to Rumsfeld just for a second here. We're coming to your calls. I swear to God, we're coming. This is, Rumsfeld, again, on Meet the Press yesterday with media whore, chief media whore in person, Tim Russert. All right, we just played that one for you where he says, are more people going to be killed? Oh, I'm afraid that's true. Well, you know, too bad. It's not my son. It's not my daughter. It's, these stupid asses that watch you, Tim. It's their sons and daughters. I couldn't care less, frankly. Tim goes on here and asks about the lie in Bush's speech. Media whore number one, Tim Russert, says, Mr. Secretary, let me turn to intelligence. There are now the infamous words the president uttered on January 28th in his State of the Union address. The White House and now the CIA say it was a mistake to include that phrase in the speech. Do you agree?
Oh, sure, yes, indeed. George Tenet said that. The president said that. On the other hand, the use of the word infamous is a little strange. It turns out that it's technically correct what the president said, that the U.K. did say that and still says that. They haven't changed their mind, the United Kingdom intelligence people.
Oh, this dirty bastard. You see what they do? Nobody takes responsibility. None of these killers. No, Rummy. We're not talking about the United Kingdom intelligence people, as you put it. You dumbass. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the lies that you and Cheney and Rice and too stupid to be president, perpetrated against the American public. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the British intelligence. That's up to the British people to deal with that mess. We're talking about you, you thug.
Okay, hang on.
Oh, and you don't like the use of the word infamous? It's a little strange for Media Whore number one to say there are now the infamous words the president uttered on January 28th. You don't like that? And then Rumsfeld goes on and he says, it turns out that it's technically correct what the president said. Well, Rummy, it was technically correct when Clinton said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Ask any Southern college boy or Southern college girl if oral sex constitutes sexual relations, and they'll look at you like you're out of your mind. What? Well, hell no. That's just what it is. That ain't sex. So Bill Clinton was technically correct, too. Right, Rummy? But thousands of people didn't die in the Clinton affair. And thousands have because of you and Rice and Powell and Cheney and Wolfowitz and Pearl and Bush. All of you people. You're murderers. You're killers. You're liars. You're warmongers. And that God Bush is always talking about, he's waiting to roast all of you in exquisite hell. Trust me on that one. Oh, I don't believe that nonsense, Mr. Rumsfeld. But you people do. Last one with Media Whore number one, Tim Russert. Tim quotes George Will, another right-wing pissant, about Iraq's supposed weapons of mass destruction. Russert says, let me turn to the whole idea of an issue of weapons of mass destruction. George Will, a conservative commentator who supported the war, wrote this in his column, quote, some say the war was justified, even if weapons of mass destruction are not found, nor their destruction explained, because the world is better off without Saddam Hussein. Of course it's better off. But unless one is prepared to postulate a U.S. right, perhaps even a duty, to militarily dismantle any tyranny, it is unacceptable to argue that Hussein's mass graves and torture chambers suffice as retrospective justifications for preemptive war. Americans seem sanguine about the failure so far to validate the war's premise about the threat posed by Hussein's weapons of mass destruction. But a long-term failure would unravel much of this president's policy and rhetoric, unquote. Don't you just like, wouldn't you like to take those words and just ram them in one of George Will's body orifices? Oh, he's such a little, just a little sissy the way he writes. Doesn't that sound like a sissy writing, huh? So Russert says, okay, given all that, if we don't find the weapons of mass destruction, Mr. Secretary, will the president's, will our country's credibility be hurt severely?
I think we will find them. And why do I say that? I say that because I've got confidence in our intelligence community, and the intelligence community is in other countries.
In March, you did say, quote, we know where they are.
The phrase was almost always suspect sites. And in the next day, one would have to say where they were, not where they are, because things are movable.
Yeah.
But in the aggregate, do we believe that they had chemical and biological weapons and a nuclear program in progress? The answer is yes, I believe that, and I believe it'll show. We've only been in there 10 weeks.
Yeah, we've only been there 10 weeks. Jesus, you know, and the weapons inspectors from the UN were only in there for 12 years. What do you expect?
Bush says Saddam wouldn't let him in.
But according to Bush, can you play that again? Can you find that one? Bush said today, with Kofi Annan sitting like a little whipped brown dog at his side, Bush said that the Iraqis wouldn't allow the weapons inspectors in. What? What? We've only been in there 10 weeks. I think we'll find them. I've got confidence in our intelligence community. Huh? Bush said this morning.
The larger point is, and the fundamental question is, did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program? And the answer is absolutely. And we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in, and he wouldn't let them in.
All right, kill it right there. I don't want to hear any more of that crap. These people will lie about everything. They are killers. They are liars. They need to be removed from office. They need to be removed legally and peacefully from office. Steve is calling from Santa Fe. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, here I am, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I talked to you right before the war started, actually, and one of the things we were talking about was how Rumsfeld had this absolute disdain for the troops, how George had disdain for the workers of this country, and it's all there. It's all done and over with now. They went and did their war, and they still were losing one a day, and he says it's no military significance, all Romney does.
Yeah, you know, one life average. I think it's more like a life and a half or a life.
I'm glad
and
it's not me.
Yeah. But
or anybody I know.
But to Rumsfeld, to Bush, to Cheney, to all these chicken hawks, these cowards, the life of an American soldier means nothing.
They're just pawns.
Nothing. And yet, what is it about our military that they will support this worthless regime that sends them to die?
They're proud of it.
They can't. What, the soldiers are proud of their own
When that goofball dresses up like a soldier, like he never was, and lands on the carrier, they eat it hook, line, and sinker, and they just don't know this guy's going to send them on to the next one and the next one. And they'll never see their families again. I mean, that's the way it works, you know. It could be them, you know.
Yeah.
They just eat it up. And I think it's finally falling apart now, which was my main point next, is the train wreck is coming on. I mean, the train wreck has been in office since day one that he took over.
Right.
And America has been watching the train wreck slowly. And now it's coming home to roost a little bit more and more, and the lies are piling up, and they're starting to mean something. And I'm seeing a brighter day, not that we've gone through all the sadness with America, but I'm seeing these lies pile up, and we're going to get it. We're going to get him out of here. I'm seeing some hope for this now.
Well, I certainly hope you're right. I do. Steve, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. I hope you're right. The latest polls, though, indicate that as many as 60% of the American public believes that weapons of mass destruction have been found. As many as 70% believe that Saddam Hussein was responsible to some degree for the attacks on this country on September 11th. Now, you know what's going to be a real case of cognitive dissonance. I don't know how people who believe Saddam was responsible are going to accept this congressional report that will soon reveal the close ties between residents of Saudi Arabia and bin Laden's terrorist network. You know, the report that was prepared for the joint House and Senate committee, when was that? Months and months and months ago. Richard Shelby, the Alabama senator, Republican, said, quote, "It would be embarrassing, I think, to a lot of people there." He's referring to Saudi Arabia when this report comes out. He said that on yesterday on CNN's late edition with Wolf Blitzer. This classified report is the result of that investigation, one that Bob Graham and Shelby and all these people sat in on, where everything was hidden and evidence was destroyed. But enough got out. The report or portions of it is expected to be declassified very soon. Shelby said, quote, "There are a lot of high people in Saudi Arabia over the years that have aided and abetted Osama bin Laden and his group," end quote. Now, the part of the report that shows the connection between bin Laden, Bush, the bin Laden family, the Bush family, and the Saudi royal family, as they made money on death and destruction around the planet, that part, of course, has been scrubbed. The American public will not see that part. The Middle Eastern public knows this. The European intelligence agencies know this. Our own intelligence agency knows that the Bush family is corrupt and filthy, and that it is responsible singularly and solely for the slaughter that occurred in this country on September 11th. No, they didn't fly the jets into the buildings, but they knew about it, and they deliberately and consciously withheld the information. They deliberately and consciously prevented our military from responding when it became real clear that this country was under attack. And for that reason alone, these people who have constructed their own hell will eventually be there. So when this report comes out showing the ties between Saudi Arabia and Al-Qaeda, not Iraq and Al-Qaeda, not Afghanistan and Al-Qaeda, but Saudi Arabia and Al-Qaeda, do you suppose that these dumb Americans will be able to say, oh my God, I thought it was Iraqis that attacked us?
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show. Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
if they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
I have said repeatedly, we are in a dangerous phase of this war. And as we learned, we lost life. But nevertheless, it is worth it, and it is necessary.
Yeah, as long as it's not your life, right? Just keep funneling American young men your way, right? Lillian has been holding on forever. Lillian, welcome to the program.
I still enjoy. I don't care how long I wait.
Okay.
It's worth it. I have been fighting wars for a long time, about 30 years, and with the truth and thinking and praying, and then thinking and talking your way out of this. We're going to get out of this problem. I got some things to say. Okay. Half Iraq's population 16 years old, soldiers killing civilians for fun, sport, have nothing to do, easy targets for killers, snipers, guerrilla warfare. Get our soldiers home now. The Pentagon broke the law, exposed soldiers to deadly depleted uranium.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic dust stays in the body. And for appreciation, cut veterans' budget.
That's right.
1,000 soldiers killed, 2,000 soldiers severely wounded. Sacrifice to the god of oil power empire, blood money.
Mm-hmm.
No one from Iraq attacked the World Trade Center. Arabs from Saudi Arabia did it. The working, middle class, and poor forced to go to war to get killed. To give the wicked, filthy, greedy rich more power to keep us in the ditch. The wicked, the cruel, wicked government, corporations, control freaks. Objectives, a permanent war. Destroy the middle class. Have only the very, very rich and the very, very poor. Slave society without health care, pensions, and social security. They hate us. Try to force us to like and love it. Let's see.
Run out of time, dear.
Okay, I'm going to send you this poem.
All right.
Thank you.
Just send it. Are you going to email it to me or are you going to mail it to me?
I'm going to fax it if I can. I had your fax number. Can you give it to me again?
Uh-huh. 404.
Wait a minute. 404.
378.
378.
3494.
You're giving me all I need. You know, your station, you as a talk show host, you're talented, and you don't know what you're doing for all of us people. You have no idea how great you are.
Well,
you don't.
No, we're just gather around the campfire here every night,
but
Lillian.
We appreciate it.
I'm glad you all are out
we
there.
We do appreciate it.
Lillian,
thank you.
Thanks
God
for
bless.
Checking in. You have a nice evening. Thanks, Lillian. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
See the look on Neil.
Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her
right.
boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Washington, D.C. area mail sorting facilities near Dulles Airport and in Capitol Heights have a new anthrax test. Deborah Yakeley, a spokesperson for the USPS, explains how the test works.
As the letters go through the equipment, there are pinch points in the machine, and that forces air or whatever is inside the envelope out. And at those points, the machinery, the equipment, the system that we have test the air over those points.
If anthrax is found in the air, Yakeley says strict emergency procedures will be followed. She says the facility will be evacuated and emergency personnel will be called in immediately. The new equipment will be tested at the two facilities for 30 days. If the system works, more anthrax testing machines will be installed across the country next year.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Investigators are blaming a broken wheel for this morning's train derailment in Secaucus, New Jersey. Steve Sandberg reports.
Passengers on board the 645 New Jersey Transit train from Trenton to New York City wonder why it continued after the engineer told them on the intercom that it was stopped for technical difficulties.
That's what concerns me about the fact that the train should probably never have been moving in the first place after that incident.
Moments after starting up, it derailed, sending the 1,200 passengers flying, forcing many to escape out a broken window.
We were helping people off the train. There was no conductors to be found.
13 suffered minor injuries. Officials say a wheel on the sixth car fell off, causing it to jump the tracks. Steve Sandberg, Secaucus.
With a proposed 9.5% tax increase looming, Providence Mayor David Cicilline says he's still optimistic about closing a $60 million budget deficit without a tax hike. With 2 weeks before the city council has to set the tax rate, the mayor says he's still pressing for concessions from the city's six labor unions. Cicilline says there have been some very positive discussions with union leaders.
And if all of the unions agreed the same changes I've made on the management side, that is the 10% copayment on health insurance, change of the health care plan, and a wage freeze for a single year, we can close this gap without a tax increase.
Cicilline says he's betting that the union leadership will recognize the value of helping him close the budget gap this year, which he says will benefit everyone by setting a strong financial foundation for the future. The mayor also notes that thanks to state funding, spending cuts, and a number of initiatives, the shortfall has already been reduced to about $15 million.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm!
you know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Afghanistan's foreign minister says the credibility of the United States is on the line if it doesn't do more to help that country rebuild and strengthen its central government. Speaking in Washington, Abdullah Abdullah proposed another donors conference to help raise up to $20 billion over the next 5 years. Abdullah also suggested that next year's elections could be postponed if the basic services like water and electricity are not established for the Afghan people. He said while he understands that the U.S. is committed to other places around the world, the situation in Afghanistan would affect the credibility of the U.S. in relations with every other country. Strong earnings reports boosted the major market averages. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 57 points to finish at 91.77. The NASDAQ was up 21 to 17.54. The broader S&P 500 gained 5 points to finish at 10.03. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Sagittarius, Capricorn, Cancer. All sun signs that astrologists claim tell us something about a person. Cars have signs, too, that tell us if they're stolen. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. Ah, spring, birds, flowers, and that blanket of pollen fuzz on your car. There's got to be a way to protect that shiny paint of your ride. And there is. A car cover made from the standard in car cover fabric, Block It by Kimberly Clark. Research shows that car cover owners are so happy with their car covers, they'd buy them all over again. So make sure you get the best Block It car cover fabric from Kimberly Clark. Why have you waited so long? Block It by Kimberly Clark. Blue nautical signs say smooth sailing. Yellow yield signs say slow down. Here are some red-hot signs that indicate the used car you're considering may be stolen. The vehicle identification number or VIN number on the title and on the car itself don't match, and the engine ID number is scratched off. License plates or plate bolts are brand new. Ignition switches feel loose, and keys are copies, not originals. Be aware, knowing these signs of red-hot theft can help you keep your hard-earned green. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK, yes, is where we are. Quick email here, then to your phone calls. But Diane in Decatur, Georgia, emails in. She's talking about the ABC News this evening. Apparently, the reporter interviewed a female Iraqi college professor who lives in Baghdad. The professor talked about how much worse everything is since the Americans came, with the violence and the chaos. She has to keep her two children locked in the house all day. Diane in Decatur writes, she was very intelligent, and I wrote down this chilling quote from her. Quote, the Americans must leave soon. I can assure you they will all be killed if they stay much longer. I know my people. End quote. She said the deaths each day are only a warning to get out before there is an American bloodbath. I shudder to think what lies ahead. Diane, who listens here in Decatur. And, I the arrogance of the Bush crime family, they have no respect for human life whatsoever. Preborn, postborn, prenatal, postnatal, kids, babies, fetuses. Any declaration they make that they're in favor of unborn fetuses or whatever is just BS. That's the wet bloody bone they toss to the religious right in this country. These people are death. They wear those black robes, and if you look inside the black robe, you see nothing but darkness. These are vampires. These are werewolves. These are every. This is what was the creature from Beowulf? Beowulf was Beowulf the hero or was Beowulf the creature? Yeah, the creature's name started with a G, didn't it? God, this goes back. I'm too old for this. Beowulf was the hero, but the creature in that first epic poem, well, it doesn't predate Gilgamesh, does it? But anyway, that's what these people are. They're monsters. They are the violent, vicious animal that the prototype, the Jungian symbol of death and destruction and disease and decay. Am I making this clear? Is this coming through? Gee, Mike, why don't you tell us what you really think? I'm sorry. I can't help it because their disrespect for human life is so profound. It's so essential to their character, the Bush crime family. They don't care. They will sacrifice human life for power and money and greed and oil and control. They don't care. Grendel, thank you. Grendel was the beast. Beowulf was the warrior about whom the legend was. Okay. They are Grendel. They are like Grendel. They are that ill-defined beast that comes howling in out of the night and the snow and the dark forest. See what I mean? I don't care what I screw up. I have such a great audience. People will call in instantly. And now, I've got one more for you. Getting sidetracked here. But what was the story that was written from the point of view of Grendel? Remember that? And I forget the author's name. It was very interesting. Where the beast talked about why he was a mythological, or why he was a beast. What was that story? Somebody, please call back in and tell Kathy what that story was. I can't even think of the title, much less the author. This is what happens when you get old. I want you all to pay close attention to this. As you age, you forget all this stuff. All this important stuff that was pounded and packed into your head. Legend and mythology and history and facts and figures and numbers and columns and you know, it's trust me, it starts to fade. John's calling from Long Beach, and he's been holding on for, I don't know, since the program started tonight.
One day last week, Mike.
Well, I'm sorry, John.
That's okay. Listen, two points I'd like to make. First of all, now, this might be just wishful thinking on my part, but I saw a little clip of the idiot on the tube last night, Bush, and he looked about as stressed out as I've ever seen a person look.
Well, that's true.
He looked like he was getting ready to explode. Now, maybe it's just my imagination. I don't know. And he was very tight. His voice was very tight. And you could hear it in his voice. You could hear the stress in his voice. Am I imagining this, or do you hear it too?
No, I don't think you're imagining it. But it's not the stress that comes from being a world leader. It's the stress that comes from being a punk ass liar.
And being an idiot.
Yeah, from being a world class liar, from being just profoundly ignorant of history and politics and science and everything. That's where the stress is. You know, there's a part of Bush that always knows, no matter what situation he's in, whether it's with the Texas Rangers or Arbusto Oil Company or beating up people who insult his father, no matter what the situation is, there's a part of Bush that always knows he's inferior to the people around him. He is less educated. He is less intelligent. He is less hip. He is less understanding. He is less compassionate. He is less knowledgeable. Bush understands that he is less. Even his parents made him feel he was less, because he is. You know, it was Jeb, that little turkey who was supposed to be president, not George. But the powers that be understood one thing about George. He was very easy to manipulate.
Oh, yeah.
Jeb is a criminal. Jeb is a crook, but he's smarter than George. And it would have been harder to manipulate Jeb unless Jeb had a more direct interest in the rewards. George is a jackass.
He's a dummy.
Right, and he's very easily manipulable. But there's a thing about Bush. He always knows, no matter where he is, no matter what the setting, no matter who he's around, he is inferior to the people around him. Other world leaders, high school teachers, plumbers, U.S. military, school children, he knows he is lesser than they.
Oh, yeah. Now, the other thing, too, Mike, if I may, is that these people, if we have to wait to 2004 and are able to get these people out of office, I don't mean just Bush, I mean the whole bunch of them.
Right.
I think this cannot be allowed to walk away free. They have to be arrested and tried for the horrible crimes that they have committed.
Well, remember what Gerald Ford did for Nixon, and remember what Pappy Bush did for half of Reagan's cabinet.
I know that, but
what I'm saying, and I realize those were all Republicans, and Republicans are criminals. Republicans are thugs. Republicans are stick-up artists. If we have a Democrat as the next president, that Democrat will probably decide to issue pardons on the theory that the country can't stand what other countries go through as a matter of course, and that is bringing the thugs and the criminals to trial, having a commission on reconciliation, as South Africa did, having a system of government in most European countries that doesn't tolerate this sort of nonsense beyond one or two egregious acts against the body politic. I just don't think that Democrats or Republicans in this country, it's a kissy face situation. If we had an independent, if we had a green, if we had somebody other than a Democrat or Republican, and no offense against any of these candidates, but if we had someone other than a Democrat or Republican, there might be criminal justice applied to these thugs. But I don't even think a Howard Dean or a Dennis Kucinich would pursue criminal charges against these.
I know Dean wouldn't.
And I don't think Kucinich would. There is something about Americans, certainly American politicians, no matter how hard they try to remain pure, there is a sense of I don't know how to explain it. And I'm not casting aspersions on any particular candidate. I still back Kucinich. But I don't think a President Kucinich would pursue charges against these monsters.
The only thing, and I think I mentioned this to you before, I'm not an individual Democrat, but the Democratic Party as a whole. I blame as much for the position, the problems we have now, as I do the Republicans, because they stood by and let these things happen.
The Democrats could have made the Democratic politicians could have made a lot more noise.
They could have stopped a lot of things. For instance, Scalia and Rehnquist as two examples would not be on the Supreme Court without the Democrats' help.
That's true. That's true.
So, and somebody said before, we need a third party. We need something. We damn well need something. What is happening? I just cannot believe. Now, I know I'm a little older than you are, but have you in all your years ever seen anything even closely resembling what we have now?
No, I have not. And I don't know that we need a third party along with the other two. Here's what I think we need. The Republican Party has to be totally annihilated. It has to be broken down into its component parts and destroyed. It has to be flushed down the nearest toilet. The Republican Party has to have lime dumped on it. It has to have salt dumped on it. The Republican Party has to be utterly and completely destroyed because it has become so just mind-bogglingly corrupt. Now, the Democratic Party, excuse me, one could also make the case, has become corrupt also.
Yes.
To a certain extent, that's true, the Democratic Party. But nothing, I don't think there's ever been, not even the National Socialists with their genocide, have been as corrupt politically as this Republican Party that exists in 2003 in the United States.
One thing that has to be done, and I don't know how it can be done, but one thing that has to be done, personhood has to be taken away from the corporation.
Well, that's true. That's true. Private money should be gotten out of political campaigns. There's a whole list of things. But, John, I honestly believe that the Republican Party has to be destroyed, totally, completely destroyed.
Before they destroy us.
Before it destroys this entire country, that's right. Hey, John, thanks for your comments, and thanks for holding on all that time.
Sure.
All right, sir, appreciate it. Utterly destroyed. Utterly. If the Republican Party were a field, the field would need to be plowed, salted, covered in lime, set on fire. When the fire goes out, set it on fire again. That's how corrupt and vile and filthy the Republican Party has become. Every single Republican should be given the same choice that Christians will give the Jews in Armageddon, and that is either convert or die. Every Republican should be given a choice by Democrats or Greens, drop your party affiliation or we kill you on the spot. That's how bad it's become.
That dream we are good. At home saying, what could I do? Remember that unity starts with you.
Hold on. Hold on.
Hold on. Is democracy dead? Only time's gonna tell. Get your feet in the street and start raising some hell.
Hold on. Oh, hold on.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Mom? Dad?
Someone's gonna try and get me to take drugs.
Wanna do something about it?
You're gonna have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with. Every day. Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you gotta be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Show. Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
boy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hot topics are being discussed right now with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Have you all yet heard of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity? VIPS, VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. These are people who have spent their careers working in the CIA, the DIA, the NSC. They are now retired, most of them, and they see what Bush and his cadre of murderers is doing, not just to the United States, to the world, but also to their baby, the CIA. And they've written a letter, a memorandum. It was published at Counterpunch. I'll post it. The subject, it's to the president. From Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, the subject is Intelligence Unglued. Just a couple of quotes from it. The glue that holds the intelligence community together is melting under the hot lights of an awakened press. If you do not act quickly, your intelligence capability will fall apart with grave consequences for the nation. That's addressed to Bush. A little further in this memo, it says, it is now dawning on our until now somnolent press that your national security advisor, Condoleezza Rice, shepherds the foreign affairs section of your State of the Union address and that she, not Tenet, is responsible for the forged information getting into the speech. But the disingenuousness persists. Surely Dr. Rice cannot persist in her insistence that she learned only on June 8, 2003, about former Ambassador Joseph Wilson's mission to Niger in February 2002, when he determined that the Iraq-Niger report was a con job. Ambassador Wilson's findings were duly reported to all concerned in early March 2002. And if she, Rice, somehow missed that report, the New York Times' Nicholas Kristof on May 6th recounted chapter and verse on Wilson's mission, and the story remained the talk of the town in the weeks that followed. Rice's denials are reminiscent of her claim in spring 2002 that there was no reporting suggesting that terrorists were planning to hijack planes and slam them into buildings. In September, the Joint Congressional Committee on 911 came up with a dozen such reports. Now, you're going to hear more about this organization, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. They make three recommendations to Bush. This is a rather lengthy memo, and I'll post it at my website after the program. Recommendation one, we recommend that you call an abrupt halt to attempts to prove Vice President Cheney not guilty. His role has been so transparent that such attempts will only erode further your own credibility. Equally pernicious, from our perspective, is the likelihood that intelligence analysts will conclude that the way to success is to acquiesce in the cooking of their judgments, since those above them will not be held accountable. We strongly recommend that you ask for Cheney's immediate resignation. Now, they above that, They lay out their case why Cheney is worse than Rice. Cheney is a lying murderer. Now these are veteran intelligence professionals. Okay? This is not some squealy talk show host like me. These are professionals. Recommendation two. We repeat with an additional sense of urgency the recommendation in our last memorandum to you on May 1st that you appoint General Brent Scowcroft, chair of the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board, to head up an independent investigation into the use and abuse of intelligence on Iraq. And finally, recommendation three, we recommend that you immediately invite the UN inspectors back into Iraq. This will go a long way toward refurbishing your credibility. Now, tomorrow morning, is it in... whose column is it tomorrow? Nicholas Kristof revisits this organization. You got to read it tomorrow. Stay with us. Quick break here.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Verizon Communications must rehire 2,300 workers it laid off last December after an arbitrator ruled Friday their dismissal was in violation of their union contract. The jobs, all based in New York State, needed to be cut because of what Verizon called weak economic conditions in the telecommunications industry. But that's not enough justification to invoke a clause in a contract with the Communications Workers of America, allowing for immediate layoffs. In addition to getting their jobs back, all 2,300 workers will receive more than 6 months' worth of back pay, which will cost Verizon an estimated $100 million.
Disney's employees, which the corporation likes to call its cast members, have long been bound by a Byzantine set of regulations regarding hair length and color, facial hair, as well as prohibitions on tattoos, piercings, and various forms of jewelry. But for the first time since 2000, the company has rolled back its restrictions on personal grooming and dress. For the first time, men will be allowed to wear their hair in braids, albeit above the collar. Women, meanwhile, will be permitted to wear more revealing footwear and less conservative earrings. Pantyhose, however, are still mandatory.
Has the state of Wisconsin been unwittingly helping strikebreakers in a four-month walkout at a Tyson Foods pepperoni processing plant? United Food and Commercial Workers Union Local 538, which represents the 470 striking workers at the plant in Jefferson, has discovered that at least 20 convicted felons on probation or parole are working to help keep the facility running. Many of them are still living in halfway houses. The Wisconsin Department of Corrections says it has no control over how offenders get jobs. That's handled through a private temp agency. However, the state does say it will stop referring offenders to that agency so as to help clear up any misunderstanding.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Well, Dave Ward was the first one across the finish line. It was John Gardner who wrote the book Grendel, which is the Beowulf. Madeline was? Well, Madeline's on the line here. Madeline?
Yeah.
You had the John Gardner book before Dave sent me
the
email.
It's actually one of my favorite books.
Yeah. I don't know why I was drawing a blank. It's really a tremendous piece of writing.
It's totally more Swiftian than it is Beowulf.
Yeah, but the legend, the Beowulf legend written from the perspective of the monster, that's...
Absolutely.
That was great.
It really is. You know, he also wrote the James Bond novels. After Fleming died.
Oh, really?
Yeah, John Gardner.
No, I did not know that. I do not know. There's a lot I do not know.
Well, I'm a real geek.
Well, is that all you had for us tonight?
Well, that's all I have. Except one thing was occurring to me while I was listening on the phone. You know, this whole crap about... we never saw hijackers crashing into planes.
Yeah.
You know, I've lived in New York all my life, and I was a little kid when the trade towers were going up.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I can remember, that's all anybody ever talked about was, oh, my God, I hope hijackers don't slam into those buildings.
Well, it is clear now, and that's why these retired intelligence professionals have started to make their point of view public. That there were, as they say, at least a dozen reports that said just the opposite, that there was something in the air, no pun intended, there was a destructive effort that was aimed at the United States, and it was going to involve airliners, and it was going to be those airliners used as missiles.
Well, considering they actually built the towers to withstand a Boeing 747 hitting them,
mm-hmm.
one would think that... That was in their minds.
At some point, you're absolutely.
Well,
right.
I mean, that was one of their boasts.
Yeah.
At the time of building it, and I'm going back to like 1971.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when the buildings were first going up.
It was in the '60s, wasn't it?
Well, the buildings started going up in the '60s. I think they were starting to be visible to the skyline at about 71.
Was it? Okay,
yeah.
Was it 71? Because I know the first time I went went in the trade towers was, I think, roughly 80, 81.
Yeah.
And they had been up for a while. Well, thanks, Madeline. Thanks for the John Gardner thing.
And any listeners, go get the book. I mean, it's like a rare treat.
Oh, it is. Absolutely worth reading. Thanks, Madeline.
Okay, take care.
Appreciate your call. And to the folks who emailed in, thank you. Robin in Victor, West Virginia, sent this in. I'm just getting distracted tonight, but y'all are sending in such great emails. He says, Robin writes, don't know if you caught this on Michael Dare's Disinfotainment Today. Good stuff. Internet joke of the week. How does George W. Bush change a light bulb? First, he tells everyone that the allegedly burnt-out bulb is using the darkness to harbor terrorists and weapons of mass destruction, thereby convincing Congress and the American public that he should be immediately allowed to change the light bulb. Next, he gets Donald Rumsfeld to refer to the bulb as a dead-ender in several Pentagon press briefings. Then, he orders the Air Force and the Navy to attack the light bulb with cruise missiles and smart bombs for several weeks. Then he sends in 250,000 soldiers and Marines using night vision to look for the burnt-out bulb for the next 3 months. Meanwhile, he grants Halliburton, Bechtel, and the Carlyle Group multi-billion-dollar no-bid contracts to maintain the new bulb for the indefinite future. And finally, after several years, we learn that the bulb was actually fluorescent, really located in someone else's house, and it never burned out in the first place. Thanks, Robin. Anyway, the report from this group of private, or I'm not private, but retired intelligence professionals, and they're not just CIA. Some of them are DIA. They're not just CIA, but they're making it very clear that the Bush crime family, and I think this is a good thing, the Bush crime family has been caught. They've been caught in their own hubris, their own lies, their own arrogance, their own disrespect and loathing of our system of a government and our society. These people hate freedom. They hate order. They hate democracy, the kind of order that comes with democracy, that comes with a country like ours. It's the kind of order that somehow gets from point A to point B. What they want is Mussolini-style order. They want the trains to be on time, and they want their buddies to own all the trains. But these people are being outed, and little by little, Eleanor Clift at MSNBC, who writes for Newsweek, Nicholas Kristof, Robert Scheer, ABC, Peter Jennings, to a lesser degree, CBS, Time Magazine, the cover story that's out today. These organizations of retired intelligence professionals, former diplomats. It seems at this point that so many people in this country and around the world are understanding the horror of this filthy Bush administration, with the exception, God help us, of the majority of the American people. And that's because of our lousy, rotten media as a whole, and especially television and the sewer of lies and distortion that is talk radio. Just an absolute sewer of corpses, rats, roaches, filth, vomit. That is what talk radio is. And the sad part is, that's where so many people, after listening to 2 or 3 hours of talk radio during the day with the pig man and the pig boy, or the psychopath savage, or Medved, or whoever it is, they think they've gotten the news. And then there's talk television, which runs a close second in terms of just a vile sewer of filth. All the talk television shows. And as a result of this, and as a result of so-called television news, network news, cable network news, whether it's Fox or MSNBC or CNN or whomever or whatever, as a result of all of this, I hate to use this term, but it creates a perfect storm of ignorance. So while the rest of the world, and you, and I, and veteran intelligence professionals for sanity, and some of our more astute politicians understand what has happened in less than 3 years with this vile, vicious crime family in control of the United States, the majority of the American people still doesn't get it. The majority still doesn't get it. The majority still thinks weapons of mass destruction were found. The majority still thinks that it was Saddam Hussein who engineered the attacks on this country. The majority still thinks that Al-Qaeda and Saddam were linked. And the majority still thinks that George W. Bush is an honest man. But it's starting to fall apart. These people are so impeached. They are so out of office. One way or the other. So check out Nicholas Kristof in tomorrow morning's New York Times, because he talks about the veteran intelligence professionals for sanity who, in their memorandum, are insisting that Cheney be fired. He shouldn't be fired. He should be removed from office and tried for treason and jailed. And give him some of that prison medicine, that prison medical care that most people who go into our criminal justice system have to deal with. Son of a bitch would last about a week, if that. Let him experience what people who go to prison in this country for stealing food out of a grocery store, or selling some pot, or possessing some crack, or whatever. Let Cheney experience what those people experience who are sentenced to 5, 10, 15, 20 years or more. Ari Fleischer, today's press conference. This was his last briefing. Okay, we're gonna have a retrospective later on this week, on Thursday. Ari Fleischer and Helen Thomas go back and forth on Bush's filthy, murderous lies.
Ari, does the president stand by all the statements he made in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq?
Well, I think you've heard
American people.
I think you've heard what the president has said about the State of the Union remarks about whether Iraq did or did not seek uranium from Africa. Other than that, of course the president does. That is a judgment that the president has made in hindsight, knowing now what we did not know at the time of the State of the Union, and the president, in retrospect, would not have included that remark in the State of the Union speech, as you know.
He still thinks that Saddam Hussein wanted to become a nuclear power and was trying to get uranium, and you will find the weapons of mass destruction.
Nothing has changed the president's thinking on that. Absolutely.
Now, Ari Fleischer just deserves, I don't know, he will probably get $50,000 a pop for giving speeches, but what he just said, when Helen Thomas says, does the president stand by all his statements? And Fleischer says, well, you know, about the uranium from Africa thing. Other than that, the president does. That, the question about the uranium from Africa, is a judgment that the president has made in hindsight, knowing now what we did not know at the time of the State of the Union. You lying pig. You lying, filthy pig. You all knew it a year before the State of the Union address. And it's out there now on the record. But Ari Fleischer, in his filthy disrespect for the American public, and I can understand why he disrespects the crack White House press corps. He can't handle Helen Thomas. He can't handle Russell Mokyber. And there's one or two more. But the rest of them, Ari Fleischer has learned since this Bush regime took power, the rest of them will kiss his ass any time he drops his pants. They will not ask him questions. They will not follow up. They will not insist on the truth. They will do what Ari Fleischer tells them to do, with one or two exceptions. So even on his last day, this poisonous weasel Ari Fleischer stands there and says, knowing now what we did not know at the time of the State of the Union, blah, blah, blah. And I say, you lying, filthy scum, you liar, even on your last day, you liar, you pig. Have I said I hate these people yet tonight? I have. We have some new stations joining us tonight in Michigan, and the sad part is they're hearing. The listeners are hearing me. WJML and WWKK. And the listeners of this station are probably going, what the hell is this? Well, it is what it is. And to you new listeners, you got a choice here. You can kick back and enjoy the program. I'll guarantee after you listen for a couple of weeks, I don't know if you get the whole 3 hours. I think some of these new stations are not getting the whole 3 hours. But you listen for 2 or 3 weeks, and you will be a part of this. Now, the sad part is I'm only going to be on the air 4 days this week, and then I'm going on vacation for a week. But what you are hearing is going to shock you. You new listeners, I don't care what your politics are, it's still going to shock you. You may be a screaming liberal. You may be a traditional blue-collar working-class liberal. You may be a thuggish Republican. You may be a murderous right-winger or a neoconservative. You may think George Bush walks on water. I don't care. Whatever your political persuasion is, when you hear this program, you're just going to just almost pee your pants. You're not going to know whether to call up a friend and say, listen to this stuff, or call the program directors on these radio stations and say, get this guy off the air, oh Jesus! But I'll guarantee you, you listen to this program for a couple of weeks, and you're hooked. Ari Fleischer again, answering another reporter's question. The question is, this is a president, Ari, who prides himself on straight talk and accountability, and yet he has yet to express that he's upset about the fact that this intelligence became unreliable, something that passed his lips in the State of the Union address, nor has he said who or whether anybody should be held accountable. Instead, this White House, from the president to the National Security Advisor, have in a rather nuanced way blamed the CIA and let it go at that.
I assure you the president is not pleased. president, of course, would not be pleased if he said something in the State of the Union that may or may not have been true and should not have risen to his level. There's no question about that. Everybody's acknowledged that. But this is also a president who keeps his eye on what really counts and on the bigger picture. Nobody, but nobody thinks the United States went to war with Iraq because Saddam Hussein may or may not have pursued uranium from Africa.
What?
We went to war because Saddam Hussein had chemical weapons, had biological weapons, and was indeed seeking to reconstitute a nuclear program, whether it did or did not involve uranium coming from Africa.
Oh, my God. Listen to this. Listen to these bastards. Listen to this. 180-degree flop. How long ago was it when Bush stood there and Rice and Cheney and the rest of these animals and said, we don't want the smoking gun to turn out to be a mushroom cloud? How many of them said that? Now, listen to him contradict himself. The exact opposite of what he just said. Another reporter, Ari, you said that you didn't necessarily need this Africa information in order... We got a break here. All right, let me do the break, and then we'll come back and do this, because the contradiction is just glaring. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time left, so I'm going to play these two almost back to back. This is Ari Fleischer contradicting himself in the space of about a minute and a half. Let me play for you again. When the reporter says this is a president who prides himself on straight talk, but where concerns this, these lies, he's blamed it on his CIA and moved on. And Ari Fleischer says this.
I assure you the president is not pleased. The president, of course, may not be pleased if he said something in the State of the Union that may or may not have been true and should not have risen to his level. There's no question about that. Everybody's acknowledged that. But this is also a president who keeps his eye on what really counts and on the bigger picture. Nobody thinks the United States went to war with Iraq because Saddam Hussein may or may not have pursued uranium from Africa.
All right, now, that last part, nobody but nobody thinks the United States went to war with Iraq because Saddam Hussein may or may not have pursued uranium from Africa. And yet, the next reporter says, Ari, you said that you didn't necessarily need this Africa information in order to make the assertion that Iraq was trying to reconstitute its nuclear weapons program. If it was a side issue, this whole Africa-Iranian thing, who was it in the administration then that was pushing so hard to have this in the speech? And why, if there's so much uncertainty about the information, why was there so much effort to find a way to carefully craft the sentence, the key being, hang it on the British, not the CIA, to make it accurate? Why go through all these hoops to include it?
Because this was information that was relevant to the case about whether Iraq was reconstituting its nuclear program.
What?
It was part...
What? He just said, nobody but nobody thinks the United States went to war with Iraq because Saddam Hussein may or may not have pursued uranium from Africa. And now he says this.
Because this was information that was relevant to the case about whether Iraq was reconstituting its nuclear program. It was part of the argument that the president was making based on biological weapons, chemical weapons, and nuclear weapons. It's a question of the president was making the case to the American people about the threat that Saddam Hussein presented. This is one piece of a much broader threat. I don't think you can say there was any person seeking to make the case. It's an ongoing case that was made, and the case was made.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You liar. Ari the liar. I mean, he knows. It doesn't matter. No matter what he says to the press geeks, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because the American public, he thinks, doesn't care. And he's gone. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Stephanie Stryker. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Thanks to Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com, our webmaster, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and our senior correspondent, who had been a bit under the weather. Get well, Chris. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike